Hello, friends who like stuff. You all know who this is. How's that for a cameo?
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the Friends Who Like Stuff podcast, the podcast where we talk to friends about the stuff we like. I'm John.
And I'm James.
And James, you were looking good today, man.
Thank you.
I gotta say, this is quite the event that we're going to have today, because we're going to have a special cameo.
Yeah, I brushed my teeth for him.
Oh my goodness.
This is not the cameo, but joining us this week is our dear friend who also likes stuff.
Evan, here again for the first time in a while.
Dude, yeah. You were ready with that. You breathed in and then... I wasn't quite finished yet. I did that to you.
Yeah, but
your
cadence tricked me a little bit.
Dude, yeah. You gotta watch me.
I don't know if you've heard Kevin James's stand-up bit about phone number cadence.
Uh-uh.
But he has a great one on the way in which you should recite your phone number. And it dates itself a little bit because it's only a 7-digit phone number. There was no area code when he made the joke.
When was that, like the 80s? James may not remember when it came out, actually.
I remember having my mom tell me that, hey, if you're going to call me at work, I was a latchkey kid. Like, I was probably early elementary, and she was like, if you're going to call me at work, you have to add 214 now in front of my phone number.
So
I can remember that.
The actual period where we had to add the area code for even local calls has only been within the last few years, like maybe two.
What? Really?
You could just dial the 7 numbers?
Yes.
Anybody?
For local calls.
But you have to do it from a landline?
No. Even a cell, if it was local, you didn't have to do the area code. So like,
I don't buy
you,
it.
No, you did not have to, from Lubbock, you did not have to dial 806 to call me. But Ken, you did have to dial 806 to call him.
What? Why?
It was just a local number thing. I don't know. But it was just recently changed.
If you have any more information on this, you can email us at fwlspod@gmail.com. I would love to hear if this is true. And if it's true, why is it? So this week we are talking cameos. And for the most part, I think we all talked about cameos in TVs or TV shows or movies. Did y'all know where the word cameo comes from?
I'm sure it's Latin, right? It's got to be Latin.
The only thing I really know as a cameo is like that little piece of jewelry with the little silhouette of people,
profile.
Profile, thank you. That was...
Yeah?
The listeners couldn't see me making gestures.
So y'all are both pretty right on, Evan. Because it is Latin, comes from the word cameus, which means engraved jewel. So James, y'all combined got this thing.
Boom.
But it basically is just like carving images into the gemstones, right? And now somehow we got that into television and movies.
Okay. Well, Nate,
that's all I got. That's all that the ChatGPT gave me.
And so, ChatGPT did that. I thought that was just off the top of your own little noggin.
No, I'm not an etymologist. Maybe I.
Wait, you don't study bugs?
No, you're saying entomologist. Etymology.
I love etymology.
It's neat. It really is.
It's super interesting. Cool. It's super interesting.
I was gonna like spit you with a fun etymological fact, but I just and I didn't have any, and so I had to stick with I love etymology.
Well, actually, it comes from the word.
Etymology. I don't know the etymology of etymology.
Oh man, that's gonna be the question that we ask everybody: what is the etymology of etymology, and see if they can answer it. And then if we can't, we'll just make fun of them.
I bet Ben Dvorak knows. He just seems like a guy
what?
Knows stuff.
Yeah, he's mysterious. He'd probably, he'd have something to say about it. And you would genuinely think that it was true.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking cameos. And we all, like I said, we all talked about movies or TV shows. Just talking about like sorry if this kind of comes off your list, but what was the first cameo that you remember thinking, hey, that's for this person from this whatever thing?
I know mine because I left it off my list. My first one was Home Alone, Lost in New York, Donald Trump. And I remember thinking, that's a famous businessman, not an actor, and I don't know what he's doing. And had no idea what it would become. But yeah, I remember watching that and thinking, he's out of place.
So I don't actually remember the first time I noticed it, but I do remember the first time I knew what it was and what was happening. And that was Alfred Hitchcock used to like to have cameos in his films. And we were watching The Birds whenever I was really little, like in the single digits. And my mom pointed that out. Like, that's the director. And he likes to do this. I was like, oh, neat. And I did know who he was and what he looked like, because I remember watching the Alfred Hitchcock show. Like, I don't remember what it was called, but like on Nick at Night at my grandma's house, he would have like the Alfred Hitchcock hour or something like that, where he would have little line figure of his face was on screen, and then he would just walk into it. I'm not describing that very well, but also profile.
Literally a cameo.
But he was sitting on a bench reading a paper in Birds.
Neat. It's funny how many directors do that.
Stephen King took it upon himself to do that as well. What were you going to say? Yours is what?
Mine was from the Disney movie Hercules. And he, at one point, was wearing the skin of Scar from Lion King. And I think there's something like that in Aladdin as well. Like, Jafar is like stacking the little animals or something. Or maybe the Sultan. And there are animals from Lion King as well. So
maybe, but Aladdin came out before Lion King did.
So what did... I'm going to have to look it up.
Disney does love a good Easter egg.
They do.
In their next movie.
Pixar does.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I like the other people spend time.
Oh, isn't it if the just beast. Of like...
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. That would
he
make sense.
He stacks the beast.
That would make sense.
Yeah. The first cameos that I saw. The first one where you're like, hey, that's something from something else.
That's a card jewel. That's a cameo.
Cameus.
There you go. Hey, Evan, why don't you give us your number five carved jewel?
So my number five carved jewel is, I feel like I need to defend this. I've never seen Star Wars, but I was listening to an interview on another podcast, and I heard about this, and I loved it. It's Daniel Craig as a stormtrooper. Mm-hmm. The reason I love this so much is no one knows it's Daniel Craig. Like, he doesn't take his helmet off. But to have a attachment or a sentiment towards a franchise that's so deep that you want to be in it so badly. I mean, I know a ton of actors wanted to be in Game of Thrones, but you saw them, right? I just thought it was crazy that he so badly wanted to be, I believe it was The Force Awakens, that doesn't even need to be seen, just for his own, to know I was a part of the Star Wars. I love that. So Daniel Craig in Star Wars Force Awakens.
That's great. That is a good one. It was a few weeks after it came out, I think, that was broken, that people figured out that was Daniel Craig, and it was so good. Oh, what's his name?
It was
Simon Pegg.
It was definitely before the second time that I saw it, because we were looking for him the second time.
Mm-hmm. Well, the implication in the interview I listened to with Rian Johnson was that there are lots of celebrities who have been stormtroopers, or I say lots. That's probably a liberal term. There's more than one celebrity who has donned the mask, or hood, helmet, and been a part of the Star Wars franchise.
Makes sense.
What were you going to say about Simon Pegg?
He also had a cameo. He was an alien in full makeup and CG that you didn't know it was Simon Pegg, and he just wanted to do it. And he is now like the only person that can say he has been in both Star Wars and Star Trek.
Whoa.
I don't think he's the only person, but he's one of a very few.
Yeah.
Just say it confidently. Nobody can look that up.
Yeah, he's the only one of folks. That's right. My number five. So Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves came out whenever I was very young. And I was too young and not clairvoyant enough to know that years down the line, people would actually say that it's a bad movie. And phooey on them. It still holds up. It's still great. Has a fantastic score, one of the greatest love songs ever written, and Alan Rickman doing his thing, Christian Slater, Morgan Freeman, they're all awesome. But at the very end of the movie, it has the appearance of Sir Sean Connery as King Richard. And at the time, I only really knew him from a few things, like James Bond, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Darby O'Gill and the Little People, and the fact that my mother was in love with him. But I still knew him, and I thought it was cool. And like I said, my mom had a mad, mad crush on him, Tom Selleck, and Paul Hogan. If my parents did the whole hall pass thing, that's the list. So
sure, that's not weird at all.
Yeah, well, they're both gone, so I can say whatever I want.
Yeah, mostly weird that you created your mother's hall pass, but go ahead. Carry on.
Do you want to be my dad?
So when we watched it, she got really excited. And therefore, I guess I got a little excited too. But it wasn't until much later that I actually truly appreciated the appearance. As well as another appearance of someone as King Richard a couple of years later. And so this is a little bit of a cheat.
Because it's a lot of a cheat.
It is. But I loved Robin Hood Men in Tights. And I used to be able to quote just about the entire movie. I still quote it often. And it wasn't just a Robin Hood spoof. It was very clearly aimed at Prince of Thieves. So at the end of the movie, Sir Patrick Stewart appears as King Richard, much like Connery in the former film. And it was great because I did love me some Jean-Luc Picard at the time. But also what's kind of funny is apparently Sean Connery was willing to reprise his role as King Richard in Men in Tights, but in drag. But he also wanted $1 million for it. And so they didn't do it. Stewart came in, took the role, and then they scrapped the whole drag thing. The rest is history. And from this day forth, all the toilets in the kingdom shall be known as John's.
That's a good one. It's cheating, but that's a good one.
It is, but still.
No, I understand. It was too good to leave off the list, but I get you. So one thing that I noticed as I was building my cameo list is all of mine are comedies, which I think makes sense. I mean, a cameo, you kind of have to have an audience that is willing to be lighthearted and not, you know, take everything at face value. And so it makes sense. So my first one is from the movie Happy Gilmore, the Adam Sandler pick about the hockey player turned pro golfer. And in that movie, Adam Sandler, what?
You changed it from Billy Madison?
No, there's two. Thanks for ruining my... No, I'm kidding. I have both.
Wait,
I have one
you?
Of each.
Do you?
I do.
Do you?
Adam Sandler's pretty good at getting cameos.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm going to cut that out.
No, it's okay. Sandler's... He can get the cameos.
And what's his production company called? Happy Madison? You just got a little confused. It's fine.
So... In Happy Gilmore, Adam Sandler's character gets buddied up in a celebrity golf matchup where they're playing doubles. And he gets matched up with Bob Barker, the price from The Price is Right. And this was so funny because before I saw this movie came out before, you know, I actually watched it. So it had been out a little bit. But at the time, I think we were living with my grandparents. And that was one of my grandmother's favorite shows. And so she'd watch it. Later on, I saw this movie and saw Bob Barker. And some of the lines just had me dying laughing. The price is wrong, Bob.
That's not what
he didn't
says.
Say Bob. I know he didn't say Bob. But it was just so funny. And then Bob Barker beating him up. So funny. So
great. That is high honorable mention.
So good. So funny.
Laughed so hard.
I love that entire season of Adam Sandler movies.
Uh-huh.
You'll get to Billy Madison later, but I loved them. But yeah. Happy Gilmore's pretty high on the list.
Mm-hmm. So good. Well, Evan, it's your number four now.
All right. My number four is one of my favorite shows, How I Met Your Mother. And in Ted's pursuit of his lifelong love, he ends up dating a girl that ends up being crazy. But it's played by Britney Spears. And the reason I love this, Britney Spears actually makes a few cameos. But this is not peak Britney Spears. This is last we heard of Britney Spears. She went a little nuts. I think maybe she shaved her head. If you think about Britney Spears, it's probably not positive. And then she just shows up on my favorite TV show. And me and my friends watched this live. That's not fair. As it came out, we watched it together. And I remember us all gasping and finding it utterly hilarious that she had returned to the public eye on How I Met Your Mother as a crazy girlfriend that was not their mother.
She was a lot of fun.
Don't ruin the show. Yeah, don't ruin it for those of us who haven't seen everything.
Listen, the spoiler alert ends at like 15 years, but I just have to spoil Britney Spears is not their mother.
I believe the limit is 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, you can spoil anything.
Yeah, I don't think that's true, James. I think we would have a lot of angry people emailing. Actually, we may want to. That way we can get some emails. Don't forget, fwspod@gmail.com. If you want something spoiled, please email us.
Hey, James and John, the next episode I want to be on is long-running series finales. And we'll discuss whether we thought they ended the show well or not. Okay, go ahead.
Put it in the spreadsheet.
Because I almost just want to talk about How Much Your Mother's ending, but
I'm not sure how we would get through five each. That may have to be just like bring your one.
I'll bring my one. How Much Your Mother? I loved it, and I make me sad that other people didn't. But James, your number four.
My number four is the second Mel Brooks movie on my list. So just like Men in Tights, I grew up loving and quoting Spaceballs. And one of my favorite scenes was the chest burster at the space diner. The alien bursts from the dude's chest, does a little show tune, and then runs away. Hello, my baby. It's so good. It's so funny. I laughed so much as a kid. But it wasn't until some years later that I truly understood and appreciated what that scene did. Because it wasn't until I watched another movie that I recognized that the man who had an alien burst out of his chest in Spaceballs first had an alien burst out of his chest in Alien. And the moment that I realized that was pretty mind-blowing for me. Again, at a pretty early age, early teens, somewhere around there. But it wasn't until even more years down the line that I really learned and appreciated how great and important of an actor that John Hurt truly is. And because it is the gift that kept on giving to me, his cameo in Spaceballs is the number four on my list.
You know, that's another double. If with the prepubescent alien as well. Because that's a cameo, too. Okay.
I guess that's true. Another cheat. Great. Let's keep it going.
James, whenever you talk about watching these movies, I've pictured 13-year-old James. I just want you to know, I want to just meet 13-year-old James. In my head, you're a character in Stranger Things. When I think about and when you talk about your childhood, and it's a perfect 80s childhood, and I just want to watch a movie about 13-year-old James.
Okay,
I just want you to know that.
I don't think you would. I don't think you would, because
I would like 13-year-old James.
Personality wise, young James is Will Byers. He's not any of the fun game.
Oh, that implied I'd seen Stranger Things. I've never seen it. I watched about like 7 minutes, and it really scared me, so I turned it off. So I stopped watching it. It was scary.
Oh, dude. Oh. It's so good, though.
It was good.
I do believe you. What's your number four, Johnny?
All right. So my number four is from a movie that has quite a few cameos in the early part of the movie. This is Hot Fuzz, where Simon Pegg is a big time city cop and the other cops kind of hate him for being so good and lowering the crime too much and want him to go away. So not only are his two chief officers pretty big cameos that I won't mention the names of, because honestly I can't remember their names right now, but I see their faces. But this is Simon Pegg's girlfriend from the movie that breaks up with him. And the first time I saw it, I was like, I know that's somebody. I know that is. I've seen those eyes before, because in the movie, she is in like full, what is it called?
She's in like the white hazmat suit. Yeah.
Yeah. She's in a white hazmat suit with a mask on. All you can see are her eyes. And I was like, I know that's from somewhere. And then I was able to place it. She is also in Lord of the Rings as the wood elf queen.
Galadriel.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding me, because I didn't do the extra background research to remember what her name was, even though that's a big name. I should know that one. But this is Kate Blanchett. Just such a funny cameo. That's just like, it's all not quite stormtrooper-esque, but it's pretty close, because you never see her full face.
That's hilarious. I'm not going to lie, I love Hot Fuzz. It is my favorite of the Cornetto trilogy. It's my favorite thing that he's done. It's a great, great movie. Love it so much. Did not know that was Kate Blanchett until tonight.
Oh, yep. My gosh.
Yep. So Hot Fuzz was great. Hello. Shaun of the Dead it's got to be my favorite, but do love all of those movies. Yeah. But I did know it was Kate Blanchett, because I don't know actresses until much later.
Are you sexist?
I don't know any actors and actresses. No, I don't know any of them.
Any of them?
No, I don't know any. Except for Jake Johnson.
Ooh.
I just can't be bothered to remember any other names. But I started listening. You know, this is another competition. Us and Jake Johnson's podcast. Well, I started listening to his podcast too. God, he is so funny.
Dude, he is.
But that's neither here nor there.
He's great.
Yeah,
he is. You're not wrong. What's your number three there?
My number three is one of maybe this actor's worst acting jobs, but young, smoking hot Brad Pitt plays a formerly overweight high school friend of Monica from the hit TV show Friends. And he comes to Thanksgiving dinner and doesn't realize that Rachel Green, who absolutely tormented him in high school, will also be at Thanksgiving dinner. And it is really funny because it's so bad, but he looks so good the whole time. It just works. So Brad Pitt in Friends shows up Thanksgiving dinner.
I love it. It's not, I mean, it is bad, but he was already a great actor.
I think he'd already done Fight Club.
Had he already done Fight Club by then?
I don't know. I've never seen Fight Club. I don't know when it came out. I just was going to say that with confidence, and I thought James would go, "Oh yeah, of course you did." No. But so I was just leading with confidence.
He was in other stuff though already.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he was already
Legends of the Fall.
Yeah, he was already a huge, huge.
Is that a football movie?
I've only seen parts of that one on TV when I was younger.
God, we had such... I was just talking to my wife about today. The movies I watched in high school was very narrow. Biodome, In the Army Now, Dude, Where's My Car? Like,
great.
Stoner comedy.
Oh, like, my gosh.
And we were not stoners. But that, like, very narrow. That was all I watched. And still to this day, I don't watch new things. But, yeah, after our New Year's episode, I started watching Reacher. But no new movies. I keep trying. I started The Hateful Eight. I just couldn't get into him.
So my number three is neither Brad Pitt nor Leonardo DiCaprio, but I am a pretty massive fan of David Bowie. And so like January 2016 just absolutely sucked when we lost both him and Alan Rickman within days of each other. But I came into my love of him kind of late, probably late 20s-ish. I mean, I like always liked him in Labyrinth, and then the few songs that I actually knew, I enjoyed, but I never really took the time to dig into the man and his work. And so kind of like John Hurt's cameo in Spaceballs, I didn't truly appreciate Bowie's whenever I first saw it. It wasn't until later that I realized how big of a deal that was and just how cool it must have been for Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson and everybody there. It was always a great scene in Zoolander, but now that dance-off might be the best of the entire movie to me. Mm-hmm.
Well, think about who else was there. Like, during that scene, like, Billy Zane was there, and I can't remember everybody else, but isn't that kind of nuts?
It's wild.
James, like, can you give us your best blues steal?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, wait, I don't turn left.
No, yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. Too bad the listeners can't see it.
What he did was a beautiful reenactment of Blue Steel from Zoolander.
I was just looking through the cameos in that movie, and it's nuts. Like, Alexander Skarsgård is in that movie. That's like one of his first speaking roles.
Would that be like a cameo?
Well, it wouldn't have been a cameo at the time, but it's like a cameo now. So when we saw it now, it'd be a cameo.
I guess.
Gwen Stefani was in it. And not just like in the part where they're just like going around and interviewing real celebrities like Cuba Gooding Jr. and Winona Ryder. And she was sitting next to Hansel whenever he was doing his yo-yo stuff in the crowd. Mark Ronson, he played the music at the wedding, or not at the wedding, sorry, at the funeral for Zoolander's roommates. Billy Zane was in it. Hey.
It's been 15
years. It's more than that. Justin Theroux was in it. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
Justin Theroux? Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
I don't even know who Justin Theroux is, but he comes up in another podcast I listen to. Apparently he doesn't wear sleeves ever.
Yeah.
He comes up regularly.
Well, he is the like reggae DJ who plays Relax.
Oh, right.
At the very end. He's Mugatu's evil DJ. Yeah. And it's just kind of crazy. James Marsden is in it. Bet you didn't know that.
I think I did. Wasn't he one of the...
No, he's John Wilkes Booth.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Whenever they're talking about like how every big assassination was done by male models or something like that in the modeling world, he is like the flashback to Abraham Lincoln getting shot by John Wilkes Booth. And he's John Wilkes Booth. He shoots Abraham Lincoln and then quickly pans the camera and does like a modeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a Blue Steel modeling pose.
Like I can see the scene in my head. I did not realize that was James Marsden.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's funny.
Dadgum.
I know it. That was, man.
That should have been your number three.
No. My number three is also from an Adam Sandler movie, like we talked about earlier. This is Billy Madison. This is the one where Adam Sandler has to go back and complete every grade level in order to take over his father's company to the dismay of the other people helping run the company at the time. And this is a cameo from a very funny actor and comedian who plays a bus driver who is helping Billy Madison get some of the content knowledge that he needs. And this is Chris Farley. And
that
it is.
Is correct.
I know it. I love that line. Because, yeah, I mean, the parts are inappropriate before that. But basically, Billy Madison is being encouraged to do well by some naughty bits happening. But then Chris Farley takes over and reenacts some of the ways that Billy is getting encouraged. And ends up taking his shirt off.
You say naughty bits, but it's not
naughty bits.
It's still very PG-13-ish.
It's made for TV. I mean, yeah.
I say if pee in your pants is cool, call me Miles Davis. More often than it's necessary, certainly.
Doyle rules.
Man, that's I laughed so hard at both of Chris Farley's scenes in that movie. The that is correct. I say that all the time. Whenever I'm saying telling somebody that it's correct. I will say it with that kind of affectation, and very few people even knew that I was quoting Billy Madison. But then also, that Veronica Vaughn is one tiny piece of ice.
Unrelated to your great Chris Farley impersonations, it did occur to me as I was looking at stuff for this and saw y'all's list that my son is getting close to being old enough. He's 11 now.
Oh my goodness.
Start watching some of these. Like, I was just thinking about League of Extraordinary Gentlemen for some reason this week. But I thought, like, oh my God, he's like some of these PG-13 movies that I thought were funny and dumb. And like, we've watched Mighty Ducks and we've watched Kid in King Arthur's Court, and we watched The Big Green. But now we're going to move into Happy Madison Productions fairly soon. And I'm excited.
Yeah. Especially the TV edits.
Yeah. Well, that does get me when I watch movies with him that I haven't watched with him before. But I've watched by myself and I go, that's fine. And one of our other friends, Jeff Smith, warned me about Sandlot. I think I brought this up on here before.
Yeah, you have.
And I thought, no, it's not. And then I watched it with my kids and I'm like, oh dear. There's
a mute. But, hurry.
What is your number two, Evan?
My number two cameo, which number two and number one were back and forth, but I'll stick with what I got. Ricky Gervais appearing on The American Office. A little backstory. When I started watching The Office, I don't think I knew, certainly didn't care, but I don't think I even knew that it was a spin or a remake of The British Office. But as we got obsessed with it, you know, as you do.
As we do.
Started seeing what other things were, and then we find out about this other one. And so then when he showed up, it was very, I felt vindicated. It's not the right word. I felt like for him, vindicated for him. Like he got to go be a part of this thing that I don't think people realized Kitten have existed without his office first. So,
well, I mean, he was a producer of The American Office.
Right, but I have to assume if I made a show that did really well in my country and another country made the exact same show, the pilot is word for word the exact same.
It really is pretty daggum close.
Characters are identical. Now, you know, obviously going into the first season and certainly from then on, they branch out because the English Office, I believe, is only two seasons and it became bigger. But I can see having a little bit of like, gosh, y'all love this, but I actually already made this and you've never even heard of it. I can see my ego getting a little wounded. And so I don't know. I think it's kind of cool that he shows up. And by that point, I think most people then knew like, oh, this is remade off of something that was incredibly popular
in
England.
Well, and he showed up as David Brent.
Yeah.
Which was great. So it was Ricky Gervais who, when they were creating The American Office and creating the character of Michael Scott, that said that they cannot be the same. Michael Scott cannot be David Brent. That you have to give Michael Scott something for the audience to love about him, something that will endear him to them. And they struggled with that for the first season, but then finally in season two really figured out how to make Michael Scott still this bumbling fool of a boss that you would never want to have, but still love him. But because he knew that American audiences would not accept a character like David Brent.
Except Date Mike. Nobody likes Date Mike, but yeah, regular old Michael Scott is a lovable fella. He means well.
But we all love Prison Mike.
Prison Mike's great. It's a Dementor. So that still works for him.
Yes. So my number two can't make my list without having Stan Lee on it. He is the king of cameos now. And his best for me is in animated form. When Miles Morales buys a Spider-Man costume off of him in Into the Spider-Verse and he says, I'm gonna miss him, there were tears streaming down my cheeks because that was Stan Lee's first posthumous appearance. and I watched it for the first time with Johnny, who was weeping. It is a special moment for a guy that's incredibly special to many of us. And I'm just going to leave it there.
I think it's cool to think you're done getting to see cameos. And then there's one more. I think that's cool.
And even that one wasn't his last one. But yeah.
Pretty neat.
He had another animated cameo within the last couple of decades. You know what that is? Y'all remember? You ever watch Big Hero 6?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to say Bob's Burgers, but okay. They can work him into that.
Current technology, they can do anything. They can put anybody in anything, even if it was already made.
That's dangerous.
Yeah. All right. My number two is a guy who is pretty on top of the world right now, pretty beloved, and a show that was short-lived but regained traction during COVID. This was Community. I didn't watch it the first time through, but I watched it during COVID whenever their podcast was just getting started. And that's when podcasts, for me at least, really got popular.
COVID?
Well, I guess during COVID, yeah, because there wasn't a whole bunch of stuff coming out that was just new right on the spot, like, and current. It was mostly backlogged stuff that they were just putting on. So I watched through Community, was listening to their podcast and everything, and one episode had me cracking up with Jack Black. Jack Black plays another student who kind of is trying to insert himself into the group, and the group pretty well just dismiss him and say, no, we're not going to do that. And then he forms like a rival group and shenanigans ensue. And it is just so funny. And Jack Black really, he exemplifies everything that Community is looking for, which is like the kind of like goofy washed up, like Jack Black by no means is washed up or anything, but like he plays that character so well, like the washed up, like out on his luck, but still like thinks he's in it kind of guy. I don't know how else to describe it.
We're right. Yeah, no, he, Jack Black stumbled into leading man status. He is not the typical leading man.
Absolutely. But he certainly shines in anything that he gets now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't watched Community, go watch it. The first couple seasons are good. Last two are...
I would say the first three is some of the best TV ever made. Mm-hmm. Evan agrees. I could see it on his face.
Yeah, that was... Community and Parks and Rec are both shows that I know are funny and I wanted to like, and I couldn't get into either one of them. But I got to them after my friends were like moved on. Like they loved them. And I tried to watch it later and I was like, they're already watching season four. They're way ahead of me. I'm not going to catch up. And so I just quit.
I have never moved on from Community.
Well, on is like they're not watching the episode. I'm going to watch the episode and they come into the office the next thing. Oh my gosh, did you see the episode last night?
Well, that's kind of hard to do today anyway with...
But even like Ted Lasso, like we would come to the office, Josh, Stacy, like, oh my gosh, did y'all watch this week's episode? Like, no, not yet. Well, watch it before tomorrow so we can talk about it. Like, I love that. Or even One Piece, I started after Steven had finished, but I was like, okay, now I have someone to talk to about this thing that just came out a few months ago by the time I watched it. Mm-hmm. Also, thanks to this podcast. If you want recommendations on what to watch, email at what's the email, John?
FWLSpod@gmail.com.
There you go.
Please ask us what we like. We can give all sorts of advice.
Oh,
any type of advice you want. FWLSpod@gmail.com.
That's dangerous. That's dangerous. What's your number one, Evan?
My number one is one of my favorite scenes from New Girl is... They get invited to a prince party. Schmidt gets very excited, but finds out only the girls are invited, so they're going to break in. Coach and Winston do this beautiful acting to get in, and Schmidt and Nick do not. Nick finally gets in to try to reconcile some differences he's having with Zoe Deschanel. And behind them stands Prince. And Nick screams in a way that I can't imagine they did more than one take of this. And passes out. And then Prince gives his advice to Jess. And it's just perfect. And I have no sentiment to Prince. But he, like, I didn't listen to his music. I know Purple Rain because of Guitar Hero. But his face and voice are so iconic that it's shocking that he's on such a silly, goofy, you know, scene of a goofy, silly show. And I loved it. And it was perfect. And Prince and New Girl is my number one.
I've only seen that episode once, and it was just a little after it aired, or just as it aired. But I remember it being great. I'm going to have to go back and
rewatch.
I've started a rewatch of New Girl so many times, and I'll get to like halfway through season two and then fall off.
That's one of those shows that you were just talking about, Evan, like how you were talking about, Evan, where you were saying you were so far behind. Why even catch up? Mm-hmm. I think I watched through like the first three seasons and then I just stopped because I knew that I would never catch up.
Yeah.
Ever. I haven't watched Ted Lasso for the same reason.
No, Ted Lasso.
Never gonna catch up.
All three seasons. You finish the third season, you're still everybody far behind.
Everybody's moved on.
Here's the important part, John. Season one of Ted Lasso is maybe the greatest season of television ever, in my opinion, and I only watch sitcoms. It's phenomenal in every way, 10 out of 10, no notes. Two and three are great. I think if you'll just get through season one, which is so worth it, you'll want to watch season two and three, but watch season one. It's criminal not to, you have access to it.
Okay. I might have to at some point.
I don't disagree with Evan.
It's just, all the shows that I watch season to season, they keep coming out.
Well, this one's done.
Yeah, but I can't ever catch up. Maybe if I get a lull.
Maybe so. Yeah. This is the episode that we've gotten off topic the most.
This is the episode that never ends.
My number one. When we did decide to what this list would be immediately and without question, I knew my number one. In fact, this is probably the reason why I even suggested this list. Zombieland is already a fun movie, but the single best thing about it is Bill Murray's cameo.
John, what's your number one? I thought you were in a hurry to get out of here. Okay.
You see Zombie Murray slowly making his way to our heroes after they crash his mansion. I'm just going to roll right through, Evan. And so he's just wearing makeup, right? This is how it turns out. He's just wearing makeup so he can fit in, look like a zombie. So, It's hilarious. You think he's a zombie until he's not. But so many of Bill Murray's roles over the last couple of decades, while they've been funny, they've been in more of an art house kind of way, if that makes sense. Like, it's hard to describe, but he hasn't been the Bill Murray that I grew up loving. You know, like, I mean, I still love his work with Wes Anderson, but it's just different. So, like, he hasn't been that Ghostbusters, Groundhog Day, Scrooged Bill Murray in so long. And Zombieland gave that to us. The old Murray was in full force in Zombieland. He just lets loose. He has fun as himself in a fictional world. It was just a joy to watch. Until he is shot because somebody thinks he's a real zombie. But even on his deathbed, he is still funny. He makes a crack about how he regrets playing Garfield and takes responsibility for him getting shot because he's horrible at practical jokes. And even the very last breath he lets out, he is being hilarious. It's just a great scene and is the best cameo ever. The end. We're done.
If you had asked me, when did Zombieland come out? Before I just looked it up 45 seconds ago, I definitely would have thought like 1987. Totally missed this movie.
No, that's when Lethal Weapon came out.
Sure, sure. But now after James's impassioned defense of Bill Murray in Zombieland, it makes me want to go watch it.
I don't know if you would enjoy the whole movie, but do seek out that scene.
Okay.
It's a good movie. It's a good one. You should watch
it. Evan was
it.
Scared at the beginning of Stranger Things.
That's Listen. One that will be appropriate for an early high schooler.
Zombieland?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't think so?
Depends on the parent.
I still quote...
We have no rules.
So. Okay, then yeah.
I still quote Zombieland relatively often.
Do you?
Somebody will take... Yeah, I love the quote, is this Mountain Dew? Yeah, Mountain Dew Code Red. You know? Because that's what he gives What's-Her-Face.
The fuel of so many just the camps and mission trips.
That's just such a weird line.
I don't know why, but she like... gets a mug of something like he's like comforting her, and oh, that's a cameo too, although she probably wasn't famous at the time.
Emma Stone?
What's her name? No, it's not Emma Stone. It's Amber Heard.
Okay, so I don't remember that.
Yeah, her character is 406.
Yeah, she's a so yeah, that's she because that's where she lives. She lives in room 406 and she's
okay,
the
yeah,
first
yeah,
one
yeah,
that's
yeah,
bitten.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
She comes over and he's comforting her and he gives her a mug of a drink. And she drinks it and she says, is this Mountain Dew? And he goes, yeah, Code Red. I don't know why that stuck with me all these years, but it did.
It's
anyway, number one.
It's very John.
So you did. You said that was the definitive, but I'm not sure that's definitive because there is another movie called Dodgeball that had two very, very well, more than two, but two very, very good cameos. The first one that's not number one on my list is whenever he's talking to Lance Armstrong. Vince Vaughn's character is talking to Lance Armstrong about giving up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Lance Armstrong says, if I'd given up after testicular cancer, I wouldn't have won all these Tour de Frances. Which, looking back on it, it's like, well, you probably wouldn't have won without steroids, but the better one comes in the tournament whenever there is a guest judge. Actually, you know what? There's another one. Jason Bateman is a great cameo in there too. And he was already famous. But anyway, there's an even bigger judge cameo with, wait, who's the other judge? Isn't it the Bob Hostis or something? Not Bob Hostis.
Costas?
Bob Costas, right? Isn't it Bob? Who are the judges in Dodgeball?
Well, so somebody is
Jason
Cotton.
Bateman?
Cotton, because he's like, that's a bold move, Cotton, or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. I remember now. He is famous, but it's not like a cameo-worthy famous. The cameo-worthy... I'm getting off track so much. Anyway, it's Chuck Norris. And it's... fantastic. And I don't think he has a single line in the entire thing, but at the very end he gives the thumbs up that allows Average Joes to win the dodgeball tournament. And that's it.
According to the internet, David Hasselhoff is the other cameo appearance in Dodgeball, but not a judge.
What is he?
Well,
he's
so,
the German coach.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Because, yeah, he is. Okay.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And he starts cursing at them in German when they lose. Yeah.
So
good.
That's what I thought. The other commentator is the guy who plays Bill Lumberg on Office Space. I don't remember his name.
Yeah, I don't remember his name either, but this is an iconic role for him.
Jason Bateman is the color commentator for the Dodgeball Tournament TV broadcast.
Yep. Such a good movie. So many cameos.
Bold move, Cotton. See if it works out.
Chuck Norris has got to take the cake.
So I was a youth pastor for 12 years, and I said hundreds of times before we would play dodgeball, there are five rules of dodgeball. Dodge, duck, dip, dodge, and dive.
No, dive and dodge.
Dive and dodge. And headshots count, and then we would start playing dodgeball every time.
You wouldn't say if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball?
No, I've used that in other contexts, but not in the dodgeball rules. But we would give the five D's of dodgeball, and then we would say headshots count, and then we would start.
There.
That's great. Well, guys, this was a fun list of cameos. It really was. Just exploring. I love how all of these different movies, like, you could go on and on about all of the cameos within just the movies that we talked about and the TV shows that we talked about. But I'm glad we were able to narrow it down. I will not ask you for your honorable mentions. If you want our honorable mentions, you can email us at fwspod@gmail.com and we will give them to you there. Or if you want to share yours, that'd be great too. But that's a wrap for today's episode of Friends Who Like Stuff. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you so much. And in addition to emailing us, you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads.
That's right. Or you could watch us every Thursday evening on Twitch. And we'll be playing some fun games with some other friends who like stuff. But you can join us next time. Also, anytime one of these gets released. If you need our if you need it to know when we're going to release these things, you can email us at fwspod@gmail.com. And we'll dive into another list or two with some friends.
Until then, keep exploring and enjoying the stuff that you're passionate about. Thanks for being a friend who likes stuff.
Bye.